Conspiracies, endless wars, hidden forbidden history, the depopulation agenda, cryptozoology, mystical visions, hidden mysteries, advanced subterranean civilizations, flying saucers, alien abductions, and secret space programs, time travel, wellness, and healthy living. Where do you go to find out about these subjects and more? To James Bartley's Cosmic Switchboard Show. That's where. James Bartley will provide cutting-edge information and will interview the top investigators and researchers in a variety of fields. Listen in every week to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, hosted by James Bartley.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is a dear friend, Laura Leone. Laura Leone is a forensic anomalous profiler, spirit seer, holographic kinetics practitioner, and quantum energy shifter. She works as a facilitator for personal healing, utilizing various energetic modalities towards excavation of soul memories, created timelines, densities, and multidimensional realms of existence. Her abilities are also aided via more conventional means of study, being university-trained within the fields of psychology, anthropology, archaeology, and environmental politics. Laura's focus is merging the dynamics of psychology, emotions, mind, body, and spirit toward a more thorough comprehension of our current paradigm on all its levels and layers. She acutely assesses one's traumas and personally coaches clients for their overall energy balancing requirements and well-being. Her quantum healing perception of energy fields upon many dimensions, levels, and timelines can access elements that are buried, lost, or hidden within the fabric of these quantum layers and folds. Her passion is uncovering and investigating anomalous setups, personality disorders, and the unseen forces of paranormal interference, self-limiting paradigms, and heal core emotional wounds for spiritual integration and sovereign liberation. Laura is a survivor of many forms of targeting and anomalous interference, including military and alien abduction. She entered as an incarnate with pre-birth consciousness memories, including future timelines and knowledge of things to come. She has lived in between worlds with comprehension of the nature of this cosmic battle, piercing through the veil of our worldly paradigm. At the age of 9, she wrote a book entitled Another Reality, based upon her extensive supernatural life experiences and awareness of our existence within a dual reality matrix system. As a result of such early experiences, Laura has accessed keys relating to the game being played within this reality and applies those keys towards discovery of personal sovereignty on quantum levels. The goals of her life work and information have everything to do with revealing the game, its rules, and the keys to our sovereignty. With that being said, it's my pleasure to introduce to the Cosmic Switchboard Show my very dear friend, Laura Leone. Laura, how are you?
Hi, James. Thank you for having me on your show, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. We have a lot of ground to cover. I got to tell the listening audience that was quite a mouthful as far as Laura's personal bio is concerned, but I can attest personally to all of that because Laura is extremely gifted. She is a seer. In olden days, they would have described her as a mystic, a seer, a healer, all of the above. So what she has done is devoted her life to healing people and healing this world in general. So without any further ado, Laura, do you want to tell us how you got into all this? Tell us a bit about what happened in your childhood that kind of paved the way for what you eventually became, this healer and this mystic.
Yeah, that's, it's actually, I didn't realize that it was such an oddity of an experience because I just thought everybody came in with consciousness and with memory because when you know, that's your first foundation experience in this three-dimensional reality, you just think everybody comes in with the same. So when I discovered that the world around me literally didn't have any idea what I was talking about, I realized that there was something very different. But before being born, even, I recall exactly where I was, and I recall being shown, and you could say prepped, for coming in and being shown what was to come in the future and various timelines associated with perhaps what we could say planet choice. So then came being birthed, which was probably one of the most uncomfortable experiences I've ever had in my life. Because when you are not from these realms that are denser, this is a very painful experience. And when I was being born, I recall all of it completely, full, absolute memory of it, and including when I was shoved into the body, the vessel, which was also incredibly, unbelievably painful, dense, heavy, limiting. I felt like a glob that I was not in control of my own movements. I had full consciousness, memories. I had full ability to think, but I couldn't express it, nor could I even move the body I was in because it felt like just a big blob. And I was trapped. And my first recollection of being trapped was synonymous with the circumstances of this entire planet, knowing what I did coming in. So it was, you could say it was a metaphor of something larger, like the experience of what we have to deal with in the physical form is very synchronistic with the experience that we are actually having on this planet in these layers of reality on the outer.
Were you given an idea of what your role was to be when you incarnated into the earthly plane?
I was given, I was actually given a lot of information, and I was told that it was permitted for me to remember for a purpose. But I was also told that the majority of the planet, their memories are wiped, and that most don't retain, and that they have to be provoked in order to acquire some of the memories back, but that there is an allowance depending on what your mission or what you're here to do. But most of that, there's something about that has to do with not being from this entire, I guess you could call universe, because, you know, you think of universe, I think people tend to think that there's only one universe, but that's not so. This universe is very specific to the realities that are occurring here, on multiple levels, densities, dimensions, across all time and folds of time. But outside of it is where lesser traps are occurring, because they've already experienced what we are experiencing here. And there are quite a few of us that have come in from the outside. And you could even say that in a way you could look at this universal experience, this universe in particular, as a type of terrarium experience of various levels of manifesting reality and co-creating them with other beings and entities and life forms that are not always organic. There are organic, inorganic, there are organic and inorganic combined. There's antiverse forces that have their own types of entities and beings. My particular experiences, I've dealt with many of them, and that's how I know and learned the hard way through this all, because coming in with what I did and being shown what I was shown, and yes, I have been shown to a point what I'm here to do, but they can't release all the information. It would be detrimental for them to release everything to any of us.
I understand, definitely.
Yeah.
Need to know and all that.
It's a need to know. It's on the need to know basis in the moment, because otherwise that too would get hijacked. So
this is true.
You know, they give you what you need, and I guess what they gave me was a lot more than most people, but and I will come out with all of that too, because it's all manifesting the way that it was presented to me. And when it was presented to me, it wasn't presented to me in a way that there are a lot of questions with regards to whether that was, you know, was that a real experience? Was that something that was artificially downloaded. There's a lot of hypotheses involved with prior memories or even memories afterwards and memories in general. But when I was being presented with the information, it was like watching a 3D or even 4D holographic film, you could say, of future events from the entire globe, and they showed me other galaxies that are also, there's a boomerang effect with what's happening here with basically the entire universe that we're in. So, you know, but it's contingent on many things, and it's contingent on the consciousness of humanity, really. So, and they made that pretty clear to me.
Pursuant to your goal, as laid out for you by those that who sent you here, and of course there was a voluntary aspect to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, you became a holographic kinetics practitioner,
mm-hmm.
and if memory serves, you were tutored by Steve Richards, who was the individual who brought this back. It was an ancient form of Aboriginal healing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, in a nutshell, can you explain to our listeners what holographic kinetics is?
Yeah, it's what they would call dream healing. And this is rather fascinating because thousands of years ago, or I could actually say, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, if not millions, the Aboriginals, which I believe were the original, related, beings from Lemuria and possibly even Lyria, they were able to bypass the 3D density realities, and through dream time, they were existing between the worlds in a very real form. So they were able to literally bring the dream world into the 3D, quote, live world, but both are live. And they were able to literally penetrate the densities and dimensions related with both so that healing could occur and you could collapse certain things that occurred that were negative and that would manifest negatively in future timelines and the past and the present, because time doesn't really exist. It's all one, but they were able to literally exist between worlds and literally bring in the dreamtime healing into the 3D physical. And in doing so, quantumly collapse, what was created on all these dimensions so that a better result would happen, therefore manifesting that positive result physically in our reality here, including in our physical bodies. So it would alter everything and bring it back to a greater alignment.
Collapse as in undo?
Yes, yeah.
A key facet of your work is healing people on an individual basis, but also healing relationships. Because as we've come to know in our field, one of the ways these archontic entities of various stripes, of various densities, how they manipulate people is they strive to disrupt or at times, sometimes completely prevent relationships from coming to pass. Or if a relationship has been established between a couple, they strive to disrupt it, to distort it, to sully it in some way. Can you explain what hyperdimensional relationship dynamics are?
Sure. There are various aspects of the hyperdimensional relationships with regards to interference. First of all, any relationship is hyperdimensional. The question is, what hyperdimensional forces are active within the relationship, and that depends very much on the attachments that each party brings together and what the setups are and what the forces are involved in the agenda towards what that dynamic is for that pairing. Sometimes when they know that they can't prevent a couple from getting together, then what they'll do is they'll basically hijack one of them or both of them, and they'll begin to do a work in them prior to them even uniting, so that they have symptoms that they enact, and they each play essentially a role enacting the very hijacking that's happened to them. When a dynamic like that occurs, you have to ask yourself, is this is this a setup where it is just, you know, these two are just triggering one another in order to destroy each other so that they can't ever facilitate one another's healing so that they can't do the work that they're here to do positively and help, because that often happens. The other question you have to ask, is there a real basis for their unity? Is there a real soul connection that brings them together that would otherwise not heal what it needs to heal? So by virtue of them being together, it's a threat to these forces that can't have these higher love frequencies, because they are like an echo effect to the planet. And in essence, they cause a healing on various levels to the planet and to everybody by breaking through a lot of these things that have happened to each party to cause core traumas, and that by them uniting together, they're able to break through. So when they can't keep a couple apart, they'll usually target both parties in some way, and they'll start this interference. And we have to look at whether the parties are mylabbed, whether they've been abducted by different types of beings or aliens, and if so, what it looks like is different in terms of the interdimensional interference. So it all has very different symptoms related to it. So you really have to look at the couples, their setups, their families, what drove them together, what were the red flags in association with what. You know, when they got together, you can see a pattern. And the pattern is really, really important. And the pattern usually repeats itself, and the cycle repeats itself. So you have to look at what that is, and that usually can tell you what kind of interdimensional interference has occurred.
What are some of the interpersonal dynamics experienced by couples who are targeted by these forces, vice those that are not?
Well, first of all, both usually are able to reflect in each other's core wounds. And they're able to penetrate deeply inside one another's traumas. And they reflect this back and forth, and they project it. So they will project that and bounce off each other like a triggering. It's like a ping pong, but it's destructive. And you'll see that, you know, rage will meet rage, or, you know, the same symptoms will occur back and forth together. And usually one will not be passive. They'll both end up being triggered. So you have like a triggering that occurs that will actually trigger the other one back, so that they're not discussing anything, rationally. They're responding and reacting purely out of their triggers connected to the core wounds, which they're able to penetrate. Now, I have to say that most couplings don't penetrate these core wounds, and they certainly can't excavate them naturally. A lot of these dynamics that come together are able to do this. Now, they're either able to do this artificially or organically, and that, depending on which one it is, determines also what kind of hijacking the couple has been targeted for.
Can you explain how these forces of organic, AI, predatory, occult entities work through imitation? What and how do they imitate?
Yeah, they're incredible. Their ability to imitate is just, it's just unbelievable. There are differences. So we have to look at what forces are involved, whether they're organic forces. And if they're organic forces, you're talking about, you know, various types of beings, aliens, the demiurges, the archons, the reptilians. These are organic, basically, in nature, although I do think the archons are a little bit more inorganic with plasmatic organic material. But a lot of these organic beings that are across the board, all various different kinds of entities and beings, they are what I would call the occult factor. They're usually the ones that have come in with the high magic. They're the ones that at the beginning of civilization and planet Earth, including the fallen angels, they taught humanity the arts of sorcery, the divination. They rigged the entire planet in meridians so that the planet was superimposed with this, like, you could say this reality layer of occult magic, so that the real organic earth is trapped also inside that layering or that superimposition. These organic beings, they utilize technologies that are inorganic, but their technology is related to their, I guess you could call it sorcery technology, magic technology. This kind of a rigging in humans is incredible because there's always a magical factor involved. There's always some kind of a super synchronicity. They're able to do things with time. They synchronize, they give synchronicities to the pairing in a way that, embellishes their affection and their idea that they're meant to be together. They create, things to occur in both their lives at the same time, whether they're in the same place or not. They could be living in totally different countries. But they have this magical bond, and there's a lot of this high sorcery that goes on around. Now, the mimicry that these entities are able to do is massive. Now, technology, the inorganic, the AI had to learn this. They had to literally, I guess you could say, devour consciousness in order to learn it through osmosis. But the organic entities are able to literally feed a person emotions and thoughts, and the person won't even know that it's not their thought or emotions. They're such incredible mimickers of reality and of human perception that they can hijack human perception without humanity even knowing it. It's very difficult. You have to be very in tune with your spirit and yourself, and you have to be able to penetrate through the veils enough to start discerning what that difference looks like when you know it's not your thought and it's something else, because otherwise it's almost virtually impossible. And what this relates to on a worldwide scale is the ultimate seduction, because the ultimate seduction means that nobody would ever be able to tell the difference, that they think it comes from them, that it's literally fused within their essence to a point where it almost feels like it emanates from them. And that's why these forces are such incredible mimickers on all levels of reality. They can create it, and they can manifest it and create it in us. So, and that's what the hijacking does. And yeah, it's profound.
Yes, and what people have observed and what's been reported to me and what I've experienced at various times in my life, when this triggering aspect is going on between couples, what you pointed out and explained it brilliantly, because they tag on to things that may have happened clearly in past lives. As you know, it's all the eternal now. It's just the past is just a different timeline, a different frequency, etc. But they have a way of tagging, to use an internet term, a particular emotion, a particular trauma, a particular memory, and burying that within an individual. And when that person is paired up with another individual and they're striving to break up or that relationship or create stresses in it, when these various stresses come into play, it could be finances, it could be suspicion, it could be jealousy, it could be the stress of the environment they live in, it may not be an ideal environment, whatever the case may be, suddenly these unresolved issues, they start to manifest in a number of ways. They manifest subconsciously, they can manifest quite spontaneously, seemingly out of the blue sometimes, and if the other person hasn't done enough healing, if they're still in reactionary mode, then they start reacting. Then, as you pointed out brilliantly earlier, it becomes a ping pong until at some point someone has to say, okay, wait a minute, this is a manipulation. We're in this argument phase for something that's relatively trivial. We're just acting out to a program.
Exactly. It is fascinating. I mean, the whole thing is fascinating. The thing is, most people get so caught up in the personalization of that trigger because it's going so deep. It's going so deep. And almost virtually nobody in our life has the ability to do that. So suddenly you find yourself with somebody who is naturally just mirroring that so that there's no escape. And there is nothing you can do about it. They're going to literally pull out of you the things that you yourself never even could. Yet they're doing it effortlessly. And yet it is like the worst pain that you could go through with this person because it just feels like you're exposing these bleeding wounds that never healed, but you're not healing them. You're just literally exposing them and re-victimizing them. Therefore re-victimizing each other in the constant reacting to triggering. And I find that a lot of the time that this dynamic occurs with couples, it's because there is something, on the most part, I've studied couples who are meant to be together that have a really strong soul connection, and I find that this dynamic follows them. And this is part of the hijacking that was done to them, because if they can keep them, like you say, manipulated in responding to each other in a program that just keeps recycling the same triggers, then they're never going to do what they came together to do. So this is a way that the Matrix keeps them from basically dismantling parts of the Matrix itself, in what they could connect inside the love and healing that they would be able to do. But that can't happen if you're constantly in this vicious cycle, which is actually quite abusive. And it's very volatile, but usually there is a way to tell whether the coupling is together for a soul purpose or if it's just a narcissist that has been attached to somebody who's a very enlightened being. There are differences to it. If it's a situation where it's hyperdimensional interference of a target narcissist being used to target somebody who's enlightened and, you know, quote, a healer, facilitator of healing to the planet in some way or another, you will see a very different kind of an effect, but it is also very damaging. And most, in those cases, what I see, it's horribly damaging because there are such unnatural riggings that occur in that kind of a dynamic. That it actually even includes imprinting when they're children often. Like the narcissist is typically utilized at a younger age when they're children with this enlightened being, and they imprint them together so that it's very difficult for the enlightened being to separate herself or himself from that narcissistic target, that, you know, the predator. But the actual dynamic relationships of soul connected beings, it's a whole different dynamic, and it's a whole different interference.
I've seen both. Like, for example, for whatever reason, well, we have a good idea why, but the women in our example that fall under this form of predation, vis-a-vis the narcissistic, like predator type, they tend to be empaths, they tend to be higher dimensional galactic type humans. They are here to do some work that will heal themselves, heal the people around them, heal the planet. Sometimes this work or this mission of theirs may not be in their conscious awareness. Nevertheless, they get paired up with these narcissists, and because of their empathic nature, they take on board so much negative energy and so much abuse, and it becomes very much a parasitic dynamic where the narcissist just feeds off this person. And because that person may not have, the empath in our example, may not have set up strong psychological boundaries for precisely the reasons he alluded to, all the imprinting and all the programming that had gone on from day one. Now, when a woman in our example, or a male, I don't want to exclude them, finds himself in this kind of parasitic dynamic, associated with narcissists. And also, as you know, a narcissist in these examples could be a mother, it could be a father, it could be parents, it could be a sibling. How does one begin to detach from such a situation, Laura?
Yeah, this is actually critical. It's very critical for the victims that find themselves in such a snaring relationship, because these narcissists are usually typically extremely empathic as well, and gifted, and even psychic. And I think they are created, or I shouldn't say created, but they're artificially psychic. So there's an element to how they have, how they themselves have been programmed artificially to have these gifts. And it makes it very difficult for the victim to separate themselves from the narcissist. But the one thing and the critical thing to begin with is you can't let the narcissist know that you're catching on. So as soon as you start realizing what your situation is, and that you're essentially prey, and the narcissist is not going to let you go. They're capable of doing many things. It is a total harvesting. It's a harvesting of a person's emotions, a person's psychic ability, a person's life force, essence, soul. It's just a hijacking of their entire being. There's no feeling attached to narcissists. There's only feeding. And the narcissistic supply is great. So when the victim discovers that this is the situation they're in, they need to, number one, begin to distance themselves, but they can't let the narcissist know, because they're very empathic, they're quite psychic, and they're psychically, artificially linked with the victim. So they can catch on easily. And if they do, then the hoovering will begin and other symptoms will begin, where they will re-enchant or, you know, re-spell the victim. And the spells are powerful. That's the other thing. We're talking about a level of magic and operation, to keep the person cast in the spell so that they don't leave. And in many ways, just like, kidnapped victims, children that get kidnapped, they actually have a love for their kidnapper. It's much the same thing. So it is really one of the worst toxic forms of being victimized under the grip of someone who has you in a spell. So it's vital that you do not let on that you know what's going on, and you just begin to extricate yourself, to start planning your exit plan without them even knowing about it. And the thing is, it really has to result in no contact, and you can't allow them to re-enter your life, not even for one communication, because the magic is so strong, and they will cast another spell. They will hoover you back in. And that thing that you couldn't resist from them, that compelled you magically like a moth to a flame, is the same thing that will occur when they try and hoover you back in, if you give them a chance. So no contact is huge.
One of the things that we have discussed in our webinars together in the past, Laura, what our colleague Eve Lorgan discusses a lot, the alien love bite and also the dark side of Cupid, key element in this manipulation is kind of the inverse of what we've been talking about, where when people try to get together, especially those with a soul mission, they pair up and they strive to have a good relationship with each other, and then all this hyperdimensional interference kicks in to either drive them apart outright or make their relationship so toxic and so dysfunctional that it becomes a feeding frenzy for these parasitic entities. Another facet that related is the love bite. And in a nutshell, it's basically people are paired together, sometimes often from an early age in this current incarnation, and sometimes there's a carryover knock-on effect from past incarnations where people are paired up at intervals throughout their lives by the ETs. They're made to have interactions with each other as children, to play with each other, to get used to each other. And then over the years, they're re-abducted, and sometimes eventually it gets to the point, if they're men and women, if they're opposite sexes, they're paired up sexually, physically and astrally. And what it forms within these two people, as you know, Laura, is a strong energetic bond, where some people describe a very strong feeling in their heart center, their chest area. The moment they think about this other person or the moment they get a communication from them, they feel this heavy pressure on their heart area. If there's a strong sexual component, they feel this strong energy in their sexual area, their reproductive area. Now, when someone is going through the throes of this, first of all, how does that appear to you energetically as a holographic kinetics practitioner? Because you see auras, you see energy mm-hmm. fields. Secondly, what do people do when they find themselves getting energetically enchanted in this way, where they just suddenly are hit with an energetic force? Because clearly there's something that's attached, hooks into them. And it's not necessarily the other person that's doing this. It's yeah. this hyperdimensional interference. So there shouldn't be no blame attached to any of this, because
no.
Both of the people are victims.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a situation where I just, in my experience working with a lot of different people, the astral connections that are made between them are actually just as real as the 3D reality. So they're having sex together astrally. They're constantly in some form of coitus, whether it's emotional coitus or sexual coitus or mental coitus. They're always entangled. And the various tactics of this entanglement that is experienced comes from, exactly as you said, these forces that are not them, and they both are victims. So the question is, which forces are entangling them? And often it's more than one force in operation. But there's this octopus type of tentacle connection, which is like a parasitic tentacle type of technology, organic, inorganic, plasmatic, that attaches itself to each victim. And technology can easily transmit itself through what you would call are these tentacles that get both of them hooked into these powers and principalities, these forces in operation, as well as to each other. So it's like they're both being bound to the forces and bound to each other, but they can't see it themselves. Sometimes other people who have abilities can see these connections. They can actually physically see the ooze, because there's a lot of ooze connected to it. A lot of, and this sounds really gross, but it's true. There's a lot of kind of a goo all over them. And there's electrical impulses being transmitted through these type of tentacles that are attached. And that tells me that these forces are employing artificial means, artificial technology, but also it has a high magic element to it, because we're talking about creating both victims with an artificial type of psychic bonding. So when I work with people who have this situation, first you have to determine whether they have a real, genuine soul connection, and this is the reason why they've been both targeted to such a degree. And if they do have a soul connection, then what you want to do is you want to essentially remove and collapse everything in association with this hijacking while preserving the soul connection. But you need to discern whether it is an actual genuine soul connection or if this whole thing has just been a setup and you've been utilized to just basically destroy each other's gifts and abilities and to evaporate them and consume them.
That's part of the enchantment, where people say, well, you know, I've had all these past lives with this person, and I really feel connected to them. There's this chemistry and energetic bond between them. And to some degree, a lot of that is artificial. A lot of that was set up, because one just does not set out to astrally project themselves to someone they don't even really know or never even heard of. The way the setup is, they will meet this person eventually, whether it's online, whether it's in person. In the old days, a lot of these love bite setups, I'm not making light of it, would transpire or culminate at a meeting at a UFO conference or at a UFO lecture. Oh, interesting person. I just met this gal, yada, yada, yada. And then next thing you know, all these fireworks start. Turns out that they've been paired up decades before.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, there's this compulsion that people go through where they feel the need at some level, and they make excuses to themselves to stay connected, to, you know, stay in common with that person and whatnot. And what people have to be aware of is that it strengthens, unless this kind of healing that Laura is talking about has started identifying the origins of this soul connection. That's a key point. And I wish more people would talk about that. Otherwise, what can happen is the energetic connection and the enchantment, if you will, goes very strong, and it becomes a preoccupation for both people. And it could be very emotionally draining and emotionally damaging for all people concerned. This is a form of energetic harvesting and parasitism.
Yes, exactly. It's all consuming. It's all consuming.
It is.
When the setup produces the outcome that these forces want, it literally consumes both victims, leaving them with very little of their original light, if you will, or their original creativity. One of the telltale signs that this harvesting has consumed or is in the process of consuming you is where they used to be very creative and they used to create things in their life in whatever area that would be. For some people it's music, others it's writing, other it's reading, other it's dancing, where they would find themselves literally void of any desire for creativity whatsoever. Like they just lose their complete inspiration. It's just, and they become what I call flatliners. So they're flatlining. They're living a flatlined life, and their spark, their light, everything is just evaporated. It's been consumed, and when it gets to this degree, it's very difficult because you have to work with a person to try and I guess you could say reatomize them from the foundation up, to try and procure their essence back.
That's a very good way to describe it, reatomize. Now, once, let's say in our example, that it turns out that there is a soul connection between, you know, a couple of people, and that the attachments and the negative attachments and the tentacles, if you will, have been detached, and then that part of it is collapsed. What is the outcome? Often is not when that basic prerequisite is done, where the negative attachments and the negative manipulation has been made to at least back off for a while. There has been, in our example, a soul connection that is real, but the negative part of it has been collapsed. So do you see in your work that something beneficial can result from that, you know, for both parties?
But it isn't the way people think it's going to look. Usually mm-hmm. what that means is they're going to have to go through a very, very dark, dark period in their life where it does look like a dark night of the soul, because they do feel like they've gone through a death. And in essence, they have. And they need to mourn that death. And they need to mourn the death of themselves in what they were involved in, because they had to kill off that part, which was not their real self. This is the illusion. This is based on mirrors. Okay. A lot, like I say, they're mimickers. They use a lot of mirroring projections. So they invert reality, and the victim becomes inverted as a result. And both are inverted, and they're living inverted realities that are mirroring each other and projecting constantly, and then triggering off of those mirrored projections. So, on the one hand, you're living an inverted reality, which is the opposite of what you should be living. On the other hand, that inverted reality becomes all that you know, and you become fused in it, and you need it, and you become addicted. You actually become addicted. And you become addicted to each other. So even,
yes,
you could be in this like incredible cycle of abuse and volatility together, yet you're completely addicted and you can't separate because the agony is so huge. So when we collapse all this, when we remove all of these hooks and entanglements and tentacles, and clean the auric field of the ooze, and the part of the ooze is also a it's like a virus that is attached. It's like really etheric semen. So when we remove that, the person just feels like they're cut off from life, because they have been feeding themselves, they've been fed into this inverted reality, which is all based on this parasitism. And in essence, psychically speaking, they've become a part of this parasite, and this parasite has been feeding them as a result, which is part of the addiction. So there is like a feeling of death, and there's a feeling of, you know, the loss of love, loss of life, that you don't even know how to trust yourself to love, because you were loving something that was like anti-love. So the person has to go through this dark night of the soul, and the way I describe it to them is in the darkness and in the void that you're basically growing yourself back up. So the seed of who and what you really are, that spark, that beautiful, undying, immortal light is just growing in you through the darkness. And the darkness is you finally shedding that anti-life that you were living with that other victim that was connected to this parasitic reality that literally was parasiting you and having you parasite off it.
And yes, we go through a phase where we're almost going through withdrawals in a clinical sense.
Withdrawal, mourning, and you go through, all the different five phases of, you go through rejection, anger, rage, finally you just accept it, and then you start to be able to heal and grow, and life returns. And so at that point, after you're finished with the morning and after you're finished with the dark night of the soul, so to speak, then the real healing can actually begin, but it can't begin unless you go through the morning of the death of it all that you've been involved in. And whether people want to admit this or not, when they're involved in these parasitic relationships or these parasitic setups, they're being fed too. It isn't just that the parasite forces are feeding off of you. It's that they're injecting whatever back into you so that you can continue, so that you want it. So in essence, it's your payload. It's they're giving you your payload back. So they're, yes, like taking more, but they're giving you enough so that you're like hooked and you want it. Even if it's destructive, even if it's a cycle of abuse, you still injected, you know, it's like a drug, and the relationship dynamic becomes like a drug to you.
Yes. What's been described by some as the love drug effect. And for the benefit of the listeners, there are some outstanding webinars on this very subject in which myself and Laura Leone and others have taken part, about the alien love bite, and also another one about hyperdimensional interference, getting down to the obscure nuances of what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
In the time we've got left in this first hour, Laura, Could you tell us a bit about these entities and what is their objective and how are they creating the realities we exist in?
Well, the objective and how they're creating the reality that we're subjected to is that's fascinating. It's all very fascinating. Basically, you know, the way that they're able to create these realities, these superimposition realities, is through us, because we are the creators. We are the ones that have spirit. We are the ones that are literally immortal, and we are unlimited immortal energy bodies that have no limitation. And that's dynamic in the universe, because to put that in a physical form in a 3D reality, they really had to convince us and brainwash and hijack us and alter our DNA to remove that knowledge of what and who we are and on our unlimited power in the physical form. And they were actually, I could even say that they were waiting for us to become physical so that they could do this, because this is a whole logistic with relation to this realm and how it works with regards to the 3D all the way up to the 12th D, because they needed us to be in physical form in order for them to hijack and do what they do to us. So in essence, we're the ones that are creating it for them. And we are such creators that we do this subliminally without even knowing it, which is what they bank on. Now, the ultimate purpose for why they're doing this to us, essentially, and this is all across the board, every one of the forces that we're talking about and all of the different beings, because there's more than one and they're fighting each other. This is like Planet Farm, and you got a bunch of, you know, farm lords that are vying for the prime resource, which is us. And their ultimate goal is to assimilate us in the creation of their, what I call their antiverse, because it's not a life source reality, because life source reality means that you're connected and associated with the ultimate creator, which is all life inspiring. It's because they're parasites and they're parasitic, they're cut off from the ultimate creator in that sense. And this is why they require beings that have that connection and are the ultimate creator source. So that's why they go to us, because they can no longer go to source. So if they can go to us, they assimilate us, or this is their desires to assimilate us into their world or their realms of creation or anti-creation, which are like an antiverse. And in so doing, they're able to parasitically exploit us. And the way that they exploit us is on all levels and dimensions and across all timelines. It's biological, it's etheric, it's physical, it's mental, it's spiritual. It's literally procuring out of us the essence of the pure source for their own ends. And their own ends is to sustain their life, because they're cut off from the ultimate creator source, and they're getting it through us. But it's an Ouroboros. It's an Ouroboros labyrinth reality, or realities, because they're consuming themselves until they will be no more, essentially. And when we cut off from them, when everybody gets what's going on and they understand and comprehend this, and they cut off those unnatural, artificial, parasitic connections, then they will be forced to just consume whatever energy is left of themselves, which until now they've used us so that they can keep going. But without us, they only have whatever amount of energy was left in them when they disconnected from source. So, and that is finite, and they will consume themselves. And they know it. And this is the whole reason why all of this got to the point of where it is, and that they've been doing this across the universe, literally hijacking galaxies and planets and worlds.
Yes, they are essentially parasitic.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara Bartholik, she used to talk about the great human Nintendo game and how if we just all collectively decide to unplug and basically stop allowing ourselves to be a food source, then overnight miraculous things will happen. These parasitic entities, in whatever dimension they may be from, will essentially just shrivel up and blow away because they won't have us to feed on anymore. And as you pointed out, their energy, their power is finite. It's not limitless. They need us. We don't need them. And so what they've done, as you know, is they've taken the best things about us, our emotions, our feelings, our ability to manifest expansiveness in a positive sense, with the love frequency, etc. They've hijacked that, inverted it, and kind of at times, on a macro and a micro scale, they've wrung us out like a dish rag of our emotions, of our feelings, and they've replaced that with this kind of pseudo-reality, which you mentioned. We've reached the end of the first hour, and we're just getting started. And I must say to the listeners that Laura has walked the walk. She has not just studied this in armchair fashion as an academic. She has gone in boots on the ground, and a lot of us have seen movies like The Exorcist, for example. Well, Laura has gone into these places where there is a lot of high strangeness going on, terrified family members, afflicted family members, and she's gone in, boots on the ground, alone, solo. And she's gone in there, and she's done healing, and she's raised the frequency, she's helped people, she's lived through what she's talking about. And I really encourage, and we'll provide all this information in the second hour, how to contact Laura, etc. But for those of you that are going through some of the things that we've described, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to contact Laura for a consult. So you've reached the first hour. This is the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we're doing, if you believe in what we're doing, please go to the website, thecosmicswitchboard.com, and subscribe and be a member. In the second hour, Laura will talk about the coming deception, what are superimposed storyline realities, and she will elaborate more on the nature of these organic AI entities. So we're just getting started, folks, and we'll see you on the other side.